Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. I feel like a deer in the spotlight. Help me, please. Thank you. Don't be confused by the critics. Matthew chapter number 1, beginning at verse number 18. I ask you this morning a simple question, and this simple question may require you to kind of ponder on it. And the question is this: where will you be in life if the opinions of your critics didn't matter? Where will you be in life if the opinions of your critics did not matter? Or better yet, are you where you are because of your critics? Have you allowed people to place you in a box? Have you allowed people to say how high you can go or where you can go? You always have critics in life. But the fact that you have critics just means that you've come on somebody's radar where what you're doing is worth taking notice to. If no one is criticizing you, no one has an opinion about what you're doing, no one is passing judgment on what you're doing, chances are you're not doing anything. The moment that you begin to shake up something, people then have an opinion about you. What we need to learn to do is to thank God for our critics. Because if it had not been for your critics, you wouldn't be where you are. You need to take a praise break and thank God for everybody that walked out of your life. Everybody said you can't do something. Everybody turned their back on you. Everybody said you'll never amount to anything. You need to thank God for your credit. Because it's your credit that pushed you into your place of faith. We begin to thank God for our critics in life.
Yes, Lord.
Then we understand that even though the critics came in your life, at no point was the critics in charge of your life. They can come in, but no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So God allowed them to come in to see the purpose that He had for you, just so they can hate you, but they have to give God glory when you come out of it. See, you're still coming out of stuff. God is sending you to the other side. And your critics think because they have an opinion about you that somehow that's going to stop you. As though just because they pass judgment on you, somehow you're going to sit down and you're going to say, well, I can't do anything, or I refuse to move forward because of how you feel. You know the truth of the matter is, I don't care how they feel. I don't care what they think. As long as God is okay with me, that's all I need to know. They may walk out, but God says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. So you may step, but when you step out, God is going to step in, and He's going to keep on blessing me in spite of. So we need to thank God for the critics. Now, by critics, I refer to those people that come in your life, and they want to tell you how you should live your life. When the truth of the matter is, God says, I got a plan for you. So I don't care about your plan, I care about His plan. And His plan is full of blessings, full of salvation, full of grace, full of hope. And so if that's what you think about me, that little stuff on the side, I don't care what you think. And when the critics come, the critics come in your life, because often they will see where you're going before you see it. See, you still acting crazy. You still looking in your past of what tripped you up on yesterday. But they see that what tripped you on yesterday was the exercises that you need and the muscles for your tomorrow. So you may think that you're out of the game, but they're saying, I know you're going to get back up again. Because the Bible declares a good man falls down 7 times, but he get right back up. Can't nobody kick you down. Ain't nobody stop you. You get right back up because it's the God in you. You just bounce back and bounce back again. So critics come. And when the critics come, they want to tell you what they think about you. And when they come, you say, why don't you just leave me alone? They can't leave you alone because your critics are part of God's plan. Now, wait a minute. How can God be a loving God and he still put critics in my life? Because those are not your critics. Those are God's critics. And so whenever they touch you, touch God's anointing, they're touching him. So whatever's done in the heavens must be reflected on the earth. So when they come against you, they're not coming against you. It's the God in you that they don't like. Now, if they came against Jesus, don't you know they're going to come against you? Not only did they come against Jesus, they even came against Mary before Jesus was even born. See, but when critics come, critics just want to derail you. They want to get you off the plan, off the purpose. But listen, God has need for you. So when God has need for you, you can rest assured that nothing or no one can ever take you out of the hand of God. The Bible declares about you, because you maybe don't know this. God says about you, says you are the apple of his eye. That's what God said about you. I'm not talking about your critics. I'm talking about what God said about you. I'm not talking about the critics. God said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. I'm not talking about your critics. I'm talking about what God says. God says, I put a hedge of protection all around you. I'm not talking about your critics. God said that he'll bless you in spite of. I'm not talking about your critics. See, what your critics do is your critics begin to look at you, examine you, and how much education you have. Where do you work? How much do you make? And you know the truth of the matter is, when God get ready to bless you, none of that matters. I said none of that matters. None of that matters. So let your critics keep on criticizing you, but understand it doesn't make a difference. Now, I was studying this story, and I love the way this story begins, because the story begins and it seems like a Christmas story, but if you're not really careful, you'll understand, or you won't understand, that Christmas is all year round. Because I need him every day, every hour, every second, because the devil is always pressing up against you. But when I step back and think about the goodness of God and how he brought me out, you ought to praise God for bringing you out of something. And so it begins, and it says, listen, it says Mary was pregnant with the Holy Ghost. Mary was pregnant with the Holy Ghost. Now what that says to me is that, listen to this, if Mary is pregnant with the Holy Ghost, then God's plan for your life doesn't necessarily have to include a man. You didn't get that. Mary didn't need Joseph to do not one thing for her. She didn't need a kiss. She didn't need a sugar daddy. She didn't need a hug. She didn't need comfort. She didn't need Joseph to do nothing for her. And that's what your credit do for you. Nothing. You don't need him for nothing other than the gaze that God is still moving in your life. And that you don't need a man to pull off God's plan. When God got a plan for you, he'll finish it. When God speaks something, he'll make sure that it's done. spirit was impregnated with the Holy Ghost. I came this morning to talk to somebody that got something growing inside you. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. I'm talking to a business inside of you. I'm talking to a family inside of you. I'm talking to a dream inside of you. Something is on the inside. And every time you try to let go of it, it kicks you again. That's just like God to say to you, you're going to do this thing in the name of Jesus. You may be ill equipped, but you're going to pull this thing off. You may be uneducated, but you're going to pull it off. Unemployed, underemployed, dislike, but what God has for you. So the Bible declares, says Mary was impregnated with the Holy Ghost. So God's plan doesn't need a man in your life. See, because God says, I got purpose for you. God has a plan for you. Now, if God has a plan for you, I want to invite you this morning to step out of your critic's box. You get that? Don't let people say, you can only do this. This can only do like this. They don't know your box. Better yet, who told you to go in that box? Who told you to conform to the world when God says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed? So as a man thinketh, so is he. I know my situation. I know how much I get paid an hour, but God promised to supply my needs. I'm not worried about a checkbook. I'm worried about my relationship with God. I'm not worried about what the critics say. What did Jesus Christ say about you? That's my concern, not the critics. So here it is, Mary is pregnant. No man. A part of the plan. And so she finds herself pregnant. And so here she is. She's pregnant. And not only is pregnant, and then Joseph comes. And Joseph says, now I got to do what tradition says. And so the Bible says that, you know, he doesn't want to make an example of her. He doesn't want to make an example of her. But listen to this. The example that he thinks that he can make of Mary, because Mary is in the plan and the hand of God. You can't stop that. How are you going to make an example of me? Because the Bible declares that listen, God will make your enemies your footstool. So how are you going to make an example of me? No, baby, no. You can't make an example of a child of God. The problem with the children of God is that we keep lining up with the world instead of understanding that God created us to be the head and not the tail. Why are you following somebody else? Why you ought to be the trendsetter in your neighborhood, in the nation? You ought to be setting the trend. And here we are following somebody else. So Joseph, he came, and Joseph wants to be a nice guy. And so he says, I don't want to publicly embarrass her because you know, I didn't do anything with her. I didn't have sex with her. I didn't make love to her. And so now she's pregnant. Talking about a Holy Ghost that impregnated her. Now, come on. The Holy Ghost impregnated Mary. And Joseph is saying, but you were sleeping with me every night. Watch this. You can lay down with someone and they still don't see your dreams. You can lay down. You can lay right next to somebody. And you need to understand this, that your greatest haters, your greatest critics will be in your house, in your bed, in your life, in your business, in your checkbook, all up in your stuff. Can you tell me what's going on? So I know how. This is holy. So I know how to pray for you. In other words, tell me the details so I can tell God what's going on in your life. If he's God, he's already know. If he's God, you don't need no specifics. You just pray that God's will is done in my life. What you going to tell God? What God already know? I thank from me, where there's nobody that disconnect me from God, where I have access to God. I don't need a preacher, I don't need a priest, I don't need a bishop, I don't need a praise and worship, I don't need not nobody to get to my God. Not nobody. So she's impregnated and he doesn't want to make an example of her. So in other words, what he's considering doing, he's considering putting her out. But listen, the best things in life happen outside of the church anyway. Amen. Because when you come to church, you get real cute and real holy and real messy and real mean in the name of Jesus. Ain't no hurt like church hurt. You go through something, but when church don't get hold of you, you feel that pain in the name of Jesus. Listen to this. So Joseph is going to put her out. And going to put her out privately. In other words, he says, I got to handle this, but I don't want nobody to know. Be careful when you enter into something and nobody else know. When you slide into something and nobody else needs to know, God may not want to know. In the midst of your sins, you need to ask yourself, is God enjoying this thing as much as you are? Because I don't know about you, but I've been some places. I'm talking about in sin, and I love where I was. Y'all don't walk out of this church right now for me telling the truth. Ain't no need us acting like we are holy. Ain't no need acting like we are here. Because Joseph wants to put her out. Joseph falls asleep. When Joseph falls asleep, the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph. Now watch this. Generally in the Old Testament, when the angel of the Lord appears, it's Jesus. Mary is pregnant with Jesus, and the Bible declares, and the angel appeared. Jesus steps out of Mary, steps into the spirit, appeared to his daddy Joseph, his stepdad. I don't know what a stepdad is, but if a man is taking care of you and your children, there ain't nothing step about that. That's a real man. That's a real man. That's a real man. He didn't lay down with you. The Holy Spirit impregnated you. He picks the child up at the age of 6 and said, I love this child as my own. That's a real man. Ain't nothing boyish about that one. The angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream. And he shows up in this dream. Now, watch this now. Because when he shows up in the dream, he shows Joseph something that Joseph needs to see, but only Joseph can see it.
All right.
Everybody won't see your dream.
All right.
You can tell it all you want, but everybody won't see your dream. See, but God will show you something, and people, your critics, will say that can't be done. What the Bible declares, that all things are possible.
Yeah.
If you you just believe. Now, I know it looks bad. Your situation looks bad this morning. But he says, in your mind, he says, you got the power to believe and turn the whole thing around. Just so is a man thinking.
So
is he. So if you think you're through, you're through. If you think that you're defeated, you're defeated. If you think that you're an overcomer, you're coming out of that thing. If you think that I can do all things through Christ, you're coming out of that thing. But you got to see it before your critics see it. When your critics show up, see, a critic show up and he pass judgment or have an opinion about what you did. You don't get that. What you did. So a critic look at the aftermath. When the critic sees it, it's already done. Why are you worried about what somebody think about what you did? Even if I screwed it up, God says my grace is sufficient. He already knew I was going to jack that thing up. He had already prepared grace and mercy for me because he knew how crazy we could be. So he says, I'm going to look down the road. I'm going to give you a dream, give you a vision, even though your critics won't see it. So he had a dream, and the Holy Spirit says to him, listen, says, don't fear, don't fear, don't fear. See, because when God begins to show you something, you have to understand that when God shows it, your critics come to kill it. Be careful who you tell your business to. Well, how Jeff found out so fast when I only told me? Be careful who you tell your business to. Sometimes your bosom buddy is bosom buddies with somebody else. Sometimes your buddy is friends with your enemy. Sometimes people will come together who don't like one another, but they'll come together to kill your dream. You better shut your mouth until God does a thing. And then when God does a thing, you don't have to say anything. Just give him some praise. He'll see God's glory because he's worthy to be praised. When Joseph has his dream, the Holy Spirit appears to him, the angel appears to him and says, fear not. Listen, when the Holy Spirit appears to him and says, fear not. In other words, you don't have to put Mary out. See, because sometimes, listen to what I'm saying.
Go ahead, Will.
Our Father which art in heaven, forgive us as we forgive others. See, so you have the power to forgive as you want God to forgive you. Everything that somebody does to you doesn't mean that you need to exercise your right.
That's right.
Sometimes you have a right just to be a Christian. Sometimes you have a right to turn the other cheek. Sometimes you have a right just to love your enemies. Sometimes you have a right to let somebody see the God that you worship. Sometimes you have a right, a responsibility, and a duty to let your light shine. But here's Joseph trying to please man. Because society is going to whisper about what's going on in your house. If you get a divorce, they're going to laugh at you. If you take it back, they're going to laugh at you. If you turn and go to the other room, they're going to laugh at you. If you do this, they're going to laugh. It doesn't matter. Critics is going to be critics. Critics is going to talk about you. You can't silence them. So the heck with them. I just need to praise my God. I need to please my God. I ain't got time to try to satisfy your crazy self, because you keep changing anyway. So the word says, listen, it says, don't try to please man. When people catch you in your dirt, see, Shame come about. Shame can only work when my ego steps in. Because my ego that was overinflated now has a little hole in it. And so now I go somewhere and I sit down as anointed as I am because I know what you heard about me. The truth of the matter is, some of what you heard is not true. Some of it. The other half is true. And if you think that's bad, only if I can tell you the truth about the other half. I know what I did. I don't need for you to tell me what I did. I was there, I had fun, and I planned the thing. I hope y'all come out next Sunday now. This is what I mean. We need to stop. Say, okay, well, we in church and we're not dealing with anything. If you're a child of God, you're going through hell. I'm not talking about when you leave church. I'm talking about that stuff on your mind right now. As sanctified as you are, it's still on your mind. As holy as you are, you still going through something. But thank God I can cast all my doubt. Here's Joseph trying to please folks. He's trying to please folks. And the Bible says that the angel says to him, says, fear not.
Fear not.
Listen, I need to talk to somebody that's living in fear. See, because I'm not pushing that off on you. I'm talking about all of us. All of us have been through something. And every time we think about it, it sends us in fear. Every time the phone rang, every time the mailman comes, every time I see somebody looks like her, it just messes up my day.
My God.
See, I always tell y'all that I'm bipolar.
Yes, Lord.
What I mean by me being bipolar,
all right, man.
Is I live in the natural.
All right, man.
Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, and still going through something. See, the fact that you're a Christian doesn't mean that you won't go through something. And what the preachers need to do is stop lying and telling you that when you join the church, everything will be all right. That's the biggest lie. When you join the church, watch out, baby. Here comes trouble. It's when you join the church. It's when you give your life to Christ. It's when people begin to see a change in you. And only God can bring that change about. And so when God begins to manifest the change in your life, then your critics come and say, you remember when you used to, or better yet, you remember when we used to hang out. I miss you. We used to have a good time. There is no good time until there's a good time in the Lord. Because that old foolishness that we were doing, we were doing it in the world, that's just foolishness. Isn't it an awful thing when you can look back at your life and basically from 20 to 30 was a waste. Full of liquor, full of girls, full of drugs, full of craziness. Just a waste in your life. Well, I'm not talking to all y'all. Because some of y'all been saved all your little cute life. I really don't have nothing to say to you. I need to talk to the folks who've been through some stuff and God released you from it. Isn't it a wonderful thing when God released you? When you don't need what you used to need. You used to need a pill bottle to go to sleep at night. You used to need a man so that you can sleep well. You used to need a drink so you can get the courage to talk to somebody. But when God set you free, you free indeed. When you're free, don't need what you used to need. And the Bible declares, where the Spirit is, there's liberty. Bipolar, natural. But you have to shift from the natural into the supernatural. Bipolar. Two of y'all. There's two of y'all down in there. Paul says, whenever I go to do good, evil is always present. Oh, it's two of y'all out there. It's two of y'all. When you pray and you ask God and you believe God, but God is not showing up on time and you revert back to yourself, it's two of y'all. When somebody stepped to you wrong, even though you saved, and you curse them out, it's two of y'all down in there. It's two of y'all. It's two of y'all. It's two of y'all down in there. It's whether or not you in the spirit, whether or not the other one show up. Shadow stuff. Oh, I'm in the spirit. You roll your eyes at me, I'm in the spirit. I get past that. Then you touch my child and I drop all my spirit. It's two of y'all down, isn't it? It's two of y'all down there. So let me go to my closing. So how do you kill the critics in your life? You kill the critics in your life by keeping a kingdom mindset. Now, the kingdom mindset allows you to overlook what's going on the side. Because the word of God says, but seek ye first the kingdom. In other words, I want to see this thing as God sees this thing. Because I feel what I'm going through. But it must be more than a feeling. Love is more than a feeling. Love has to ground you. Love must be the foundation of life. Now, yes, I feel in love, but love comes with a responsibility. For the Bible declares, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Now, watch this. You can't keep this commandment.
All right now.
So God, if I sin, I'm sorry. When I sin, just me talking about that.
Yeah, not you.
When I sin,
yeah, right.
Are you saying that I don't love you? See, it was necessary for the Holy Spirit to impregnate Mary and not Joseph. Joseph was born in the same bloodline as Adam and Eve. And so because his blood was tainted, he couldn't do the thing. And so when Mary gave birth to Jesus without Adam and Eve bloodline, then we can have a blood infusion. We got new blood. And so it's the blood of the Lamb that now protects you. Because when you're baptized in the Spirit, all of Adam's blood goes out and the blood of the Lamb comes in. When the blood of the Lamb comes in, the blood of the Lamb keeps me and push me beyond the law, beyond the commandments, the 10 in the Old Testament, pushes me to the one of the New Testament, and he says, love your neighbor. You mean my critics? Especially your critics. Especially your critics. Because your critics are the ones that are setting you up for a blessing. Setting you up for a breakthrough. Setting you up. And so every time your critics come, they're announcing to you that God is getting ready to move again in your life. So the next time the critics come, stop right there and give God praise, because he's getting ready to do something in your life. They just told you what God is getting ready to do. If God wasn't doing anything, he would have took you out a long time ago. The first first car accident would have took out. The first reading of cancer. The first divorce. The first layoff would have took you out. But God got a plan. He got purpose in your life. You're not going anywhere until God is through with you. I don't care what they write about you, what they say about you. It's not going to affect you at all. It means absolutely nothing what the critics say. Just think about you.
Lord have mercy, Jesus.
Little old you. And grant the attention of several people that they want to spend their time talking about you. Why are they talking about you? What is it about you that would capture an entire office and now they're talking about you? Whole neighborhood, they're talking about you. What is it, who is it that they see in you? Better question. Why can't you see God at work in you?
Amen.
Critics see it.
My God.
That's why they're talking about you. Because they see what God is doing. They see how you keep coming through time after
yes,
time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In spite of your challenges,
yes, sir.
You're still coming through time yes. after time. They see it. Why can't you? Why can't you see the God in you? Everything that you go through in life is so that God can be glorified. God is using you for His glory. For His glory. It's not about you. It's for His glory. What you're going through is for His glory. So it's a setup with you. He allows it to happen so that everybody can focus on you. Everybody knows your business. Everybody knows everything. And then they say, well, you're not going to come out of that. And then God swings open the door for His glory. For His glory. That's why nothing can stop you. That's why He keeps bringing you out. That's why He keeps delivering you. For His glory. Because you are a child of God. You're property of God. And He says, I want to use you. You don't mind if I use you. You said, God, have your way. And He says, okay, I want to do this with you for my glory.
Yes.
And so He begins to take you through things.
Yes.
Everything that God is taking you through
thank you, Lord.
Was for His glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Critics don't understand how you bought that
thank
house.
You,
critics don't understand how you raised those kids by yourself.
Thank you.
Critics don't understand how you're making those bills. Critics don't understand none of that. That's all right. You keep writing about me as my God keep working it out. Just keep on writing. But God is working the thing out. God is working the thing out in your life. Come on and stand with me this morning. God is working it out. Everything that you're going through in life, God has a purpose in mind. He has a purpose. He's just doing it for His glory. See, you are part of God's team. And so He's using you for His glory. For His glory. So He has you right in the palm of His hand. Right in the palm of His hand. That's the blessed assurance you have as a child of God. If you're here this morning and you don't have that blessed assurance, you're not a child of God, you never submitted yourself, humbled yourself to God, we open the doors of the church for you. And we say to you, you come just as you are. Jacked up, messed up, everything that is ugly about you, you bring it to God as you are. Just come as you are. With everyone this morning,